This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
We got you on that one, Slider.
Yeah.
And joining us is Mr. Barnaby Wayne fan, perennial aviation mogul. Anyway.
I don't know about mogul. Yeah, character, all.
All right, how about model?
I'll cop to that, I guess.
Okay, listen, we were talking before we came in. For those of you who don't remember, Barnaby Wayne fan built the Facet Mobile.
The Facet Mobile.
Gosh, I guess almost 20 years ago now?
Well,
anyway,
you know, just to make us all feel old.
Old, yeah.
This year is the 25th anniversary of when we had 7 Whiskey Delta here in front of the Brown Arch. It was 1994, so
Wow. We're
25 years on, and the work continues.
And for anybody that doesn't know what the Facet Mobile is, it was kind of a poor man's F-117.
I can't visualize that in my mind. I keep thinking of the Dyke Delta.
Well, you know, the Dyke was a considerable inspiration to me. I mean, it's the 50th anniversary of the Dyke Delta, and, you know, 555 Alpha, which is John's original airplane, has now been donated to the EAA Museum.
Okay.
And so, I mean, there's 5 Dyke Deltas on the field, but, you know, that airplane was part of what set me on my path in life, because I saw a picture of it on the cover of Sport Aviation when I was maybe 11 or 12 years old and just went, oh, that's too cool. And, you know, of course, it took a long time to learn why it worked so
right.
well. But,
apparently you got it wrong, because yours is nothing but like slab sides and square corners.
Come on, man. I did not get it wrong. Any airplane that can make it all the way from California to Oshkosh behind a Rotax 503 at an average of almost 80 knots can't be too wrong.
That's true. But didn't you say that during model testing you found out it flew better inverted?
Well, no. The early models were actually more recreational RC models, and they were flat-topped. And at that point, I wasn't thinking of making them manned airplanes.
Oh.
And then one day I discovered that one of my flat top models actually flew better inverted. And I went, holy cow, if I put windows in the sides of that thing, I got something. and that's literally the beginning of the thought process that led to the Facetmobile. And then, of course, you know,
the rest is history.
Many, many hours of real engineering and building and all of that. And here we are. You know, but the airplane flew really well. And, you know, I always wanted to do a second generation or third generation two-place airplane.
Okay.
And, you know, we had this interesting sidelight, which I think we've talked about in the past, but I had a two-place designed up that I was going to build in the mid-90s. Life intervened in some respects, and that airplane never got built. But the design of it got used for a high-altitude UAV to bring payloads back from balloons.
Wow.
And it's called the high-altitude shuttle system. It's actually still operational with NASA. It's about a 6-foot version of what I called FMX-5, which was going to be a super facet mobile. And we've had those things over 100,000 feet.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, they glide to bring the payloads back. And we even had two of them go supersonic when the control system malfunctioned.
And they stayed together.
Yeah, both of them did.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
I mean, we had one that did an uncommanded split S from
nice.
100,000 feet. At 85K, it was going straight down at almost Mach 1.1. And then somewhere around 75,000 feet, the elevons got a bite on the air, and the airplane did like this 8G emergency bat turn.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it just settled down at 50 knots and glided home.
Wow. That's extreme testing.
That's quite an adventure.
Yeah, so, well, it's kind of a thing. I designed the thing to cruise at, you know, 6,000 feet at 120 knots, and here I am going straight down, well, not me, but the airplane, you know, at 85,000 feet supersonic, but it worked.
Definitely not tube and fabric.
I was going to say, there was some colorful language used that day.
So what, you get a phone call from NASA and they say, hey, we'd like this blah, 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 and you said, you know, that's really funny. I just happen to have exactly what you're looking for.
Almost. That's not quite what happened, but it's very close. I got a phone call from a friend of mine who actually works at Aurora Flight Systems, and I've known, you know, long history back to his professor, was once my office mate. And he called and said, hey, I'm talking to these guys at Near Space Corporation and Tillamook. They're the guys who do the high altitude balloons. And they've got a problem. And I showed them a model of the Facet Mobile. And they think a configuration something like that might work for them. What you got? And then,
oh my goodness.
Tim Lockenmeyer is the gentleman who's the president of Near Space, called me. And I said, well, here's what I've got. I've got this other design. I've got some wind tunnel data. And he said, cool, let's do it. And, you know, the rest is history.
Wow. But now NASA owns the design, so you can't build it.
Well, no. I mean, Tim's company owns the design of the UAV. I was well paid for it. As a matter of fact, you know, what? Ironically enough, what I used the money that I got paid for the small-scale super facet mobile to buy a Cessna 150. So maybe I was setting things back, but it got me in the air. And,
right.
you know, it's the airplane my daughter learned how to fly in. And
cool.
All of that, now, so, you know.
You were talking about the wind tunnel testing on the next generation Facet Mobile.
Yeah. You know, you know, you keep learning. And FMX 5 was a very good design, but I said, okay, I want to tune it up because, you know, between when we did Facetmobile and now, the light sport rules came along. And I said, okay, I want to do a light sport version of this airplane. So I, you know, I've designed up a new configuration, and we've tested it both as a 4-foot span RC model, which we're flying with a full autopilot and data logging.
Full autonomous?
Well, not autonomous. Okay. It can fly autonomous. We're using the autopilot as a data logger.
Okay.
And then because I've been working with Cal Poly Pomona University for 25 years, a group of students wanted to do a wind tunnel test of it as a senior project. And it's really cool. You know, these are good kids. I mean, you know, I hope my company hires all of them, frankly. But they 3D printed the model, 18-inch span, fully 3D printed model with metal backbone. And it was interesting watching them learn machine shop practice and discovering that you can't drill a square hole and
right.
things like that while building the balance adapter. But we got in the tunnel, and the results look beautiful. I mean, you know, it's the kind of thing where this airplane is just grabbing me by the scruff of the neck and say, build me before you're too old.
Right.
You know, so...
Right.
But, you know, you got to love it working with really motivated young people because they... you know, we did our first day of testing, and I told them at the end of the day, okay, guys, look, you've satisfied all the academic requirements for your senior project, but we're not to the end of the matrix yet, and I'd really like to look at this and that. And all five of them said, we'll see you tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And on their own time, on their winter break, we ran two more 12-hour days. And then at the end, they wrote me a 400-page final report for their senior project.
Wow.
And you know, and the data are beautiful. And actually, one of those students has put another group together and wants to go back in the tunnel and learn even more. You got to love it.
Well, then you got to get the supersonic version.
That's maybe FMX 8. This is FMX 7. You know, but you know, there's lots of little jet engines out there. You know,
that's right.
You know, a jet engine super Facetmobile could be fun.
And
that's
Barbie,
right.
One thing that you should know is that Dave and I have been drilling square holes for years.
For years, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, he was trying to drill a square hole on purpose.
Right, right.
Okay.
And whenever we drill a square hole, it's always just a little bit off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You still
yeah.
have to file it.
Yeah, well, as soon as you can find a way to get that thread on the square bolt,
yes,
you're,
exactly.
we're good to go,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. That's one of those self-locking bolts.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
So what else you been doing? I mean, okay, you got the design, you did the wind tunnel. Did we start in construction here?
Okay, I've been, you know how EAA now has SolidWorks as a benefit. So I've sharpened up my somewhat rusty solid modeling skills. I've got SolidWorks going. We've done, you know, got built a full SolidWorks model of the. It's going to be another tube and fabric airplane, and that's not. I mean, that will work well, but the real reason I'm going tube and fabric is because I'm sticking with what I have the engineering skills to design.
Right.
I think the shape would do really well as a composite airplane, but I'm not a good enough composites engineer to really get it down to the weight I want safely. So I'm sticking with what I know, which is tube and fabric, which I've built two airplanes already and, you know, helped a lot of others. But what I want to do this time around is follow the lead of what the guys in Oregon did who were building the replica Facetmobile. And what they did was fully model the structure in SolidWorks and then cut all the parts NC.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Including gussets with Clico holes. When they put that airplane together, the first hull for the FMX-4 replica, they didn't need any fixturing.
Wow.
It was so clean and so true
right.
that they Clicoed it up and it was dead nut straight, and they just put it on a couple of level sawhorses and started driving rivets. And, you know, I'd much rather do that than start with a band saw and a file again.
Exactly.
And the other great advantage of that, of course, is once you do that, you've got something repeatable. When you want to build ship two, you can just cut another kit.
Right.
So
right.
that's what I'm working on right now. You know, the current state of the CAD model is 3D schematic, basically. And we've done some good stress analysis. Now I'm sizing the tubes properly. So I'm spending my evenings doing the real thing, getting the CAD model that we can make the cut file from.
Okay. What engine are you looking at using?
I'm baselining an 0200 or maybe an 0235, somewhere around that, you know, 100 to 125, 130 horsepower range. Various people are urging me to use other more well-known recent engines.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's because I'm an old 150 driver, but the idea of having a good, solid, old, reliable 0200 in front of it appeals to me. But we'll see. I mean, you know. I've had some offers of help on the project, and you know, when we get to the point where we've got a firewall that needs something in front of it, that's the time to see who's got what for how much money. You know, typical
exactly.
home builder thing, and you know, it'll take a wide variety of engines.
I don't know. I heard you have a 150 that's not doing anything.
Oh no, I have a 150 that actually flies.
Oh, good.
And, you know, having an airplane that actually flies while you are building the airplane you're going to fly is a good way of staying motivated. It may slow down building a little bit, but having an airplane that actually flies is a good thing. You know, it's funny, years ago, this is my second 150, and my first 150, after I bought it, we're flying it for a little while, my oldest daughter was looking at me and saying, "Dad, you know, you're leaving it alone. Why aren't you modifying this airplane? Why aren't you trying to, you know, cut the drag and all of that? You always do that." And of course, part of the reason is it's a certified airplane, but, you know, but what I told her is, no, I bought this one to fly. I want this one ready every morning when I want to go flying. It's there. You know, I bought it as a 150. It does what 150s do. I don't expect it to do anything else. And in the meantime, we'll go build all the other stuff. And, you know, then, you know, when we've got that going, we can send the 150 off to a new home.
There you go. Pennsylvania's not that far from California.
That's right. We'll even come and pick it up.
You know, you got to remember, my oldest daughter's got dibs on the airplane after me.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Got to take care of it. Hey, look, Dave, I raised my kids right. They want to fly.
Well, that's a good thing.
Okay, so, you know, if I've got an airplane that can help that, we'll roll with it.
And besides, you're going to need a pilot anyway.
If fate is kind, not for too many years.
Good.
But I've already extracted a promise that, you know, you're going to, if you have to use a lift to get me in the airplane, you're going to bring me to Oshkosh.
There you go. All right, Barnaby, as always, it's fantastic talking with you.
Definitely.
And hope you great success, and hopefully that airplane shows up on the flight line next year.
Well, I don't know about next year, but, you know.
We'll
soon.
See.
Well, you know, the problem is I don't have that optimism that you have when you've never done it before. I know it's going to take a couple of years.
Right.
But I'm also aware of the fact that I'm getting to the age where I'm starting to run out of runway, so I better get in gear and get it done.
Yep. All right. Thanks again, Barnaby. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And this is EAA Radio.